This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Holy sofa pia, Batman. Have we got a story breaking out of New Mexico? This is the hour we devote to election protection every week. Every week at this time, we take an hour to talk with Brad Friedman about important issues related to elections and the issues underlying them. And this week, Brad has really got a big, big story brewing over at bradblog.com. And it's not the only one. He checks in from Los Angeles, where he has just testified in a hearing into questions about the primary election on Super Tuesday and the double bubble issue. Brad, you're awful busy, aren't you?
Hey, yeah, too busy. Talking to you from the Ronald Reagan building here, the state of California Ronald Reagan building, where they just had a joint legislative hearing on that double bubble business. Secretary of State Deborah Bowen testified, and Connie McCormick, the former registrar of Los Angeles, Dean Logan, and those two folks, of course, were responsible for finally throwing out nearly 12,000 legally cast votes. And as you can suspect, folks around here were not real happy about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, toward the end of the hour, I'll ask you to recap that and also some questions that have surfaced from the primaries this past week in Ohio and Texas.
Yes.
But I want to zero in on the story that you've been going long on at BradBlog. And I encourage my listeners over the weekend to take the time to read the full story for yourself. But the issue details, or the articles detail, a role that Heather Wilson has played. She is a Republican congresswoman from New Mexico, and our listeners are familiar with her name because she was one of the politicians who lobbied for the removal of U.S. Attorney David Iglesias, and they succeeded. And that has become quite a scandal in the U.S. attorney's case. Iglesias is a real stalwart Republican, a solid American as well, I would say. And we invited him on the program today, and he thought about it and declined to join us. He said he wants to focus on his own issues at this time. But Heather Wilson has been tainted by her connection to the U.S. attorney scandal. And, Brad, as you report, in mid-February, there was a caucus in a county in New Mexico where Heather Wilson apparently hired people to come in and cast votes for her. This is a vote-buying allegation, and this is not a casual allegation. We have a reporter who will join us in a moment who witnessed people who told her about this. And a little later this hour, the former Republican governor of New Mexico, Dave Cargo, will join us. He also has offered eyewitness testimony about this issue.
Yeah, in fact, he was one of the first to begin making noise about this. And the report you have coming up, Laura McCallum reported it. Some extraordinary things have happened since then. But, yeah, this I've seen this painted as sort of a, it's a liberal issue or something like that. The fact is you've got at least now three Republican officials, including the former governor, who have alleged that folks turned out to this Republican delegate convention in San Bernalillo County and had their not only their registration fees paid to show up to participate, but we're also being paid some $35 an hour for the 2 hours. And Governor Cargo, when he comes on, can give you some more details on that. But it's an extraordinary story. Seems to me highly illegal. But then again, I'm in favor of the rule of law. So what do I know? And we're working on that. It's an extraordinary story, and I suspect there's going to be more to come as we talk to some of these folks, as more and more folks step forward to talk about what seems to have gone out there in that the delegate convention in Bernalillo County.
That's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Joining us now is Laura McCallum. She recently quit her job as an afternoon news anchor at radio station KKOB in Albuquerque because her stories about this issue, the alleged vote buying and the linkage to Congresswoman Wilson, were pulled by her news director. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be here.
And I applaud you for your courage and willingness to stand up on principle and quit a job at a time when jobs are scarce and radio is downsizing beyond our beyond what we ever imagined possible.
It's tough to find radio news jobs.
Well, there aren't any.
Very few these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us what led to this. You were actually there at this Republican caucus in mid-February.
Actually, it was the Bernalillo County Delegates Convention, and this is where delegates are chosen to go to the state convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked around. There was only one other reporter there from the ABC affiliate, TV affiliate, and heard a lot of people talking about how they'd been paid to be there. One thing I did notice right away was that the place was absolutely packed. And ordinarily, there aren't that many people. Now, this is an extraordinary election year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would imagine that there would be a much bigger turnout. However, this was really sort of interesting. And so I heard people talking about all this stuff. It didn't connect with me until the following day. The convention was on a Sunday. I went to work at the station on Monday, and I got an email from a gentleman who said, how come nobody is covering this illegal stuff that was going on at the Bernalillo County Delegate Convention?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, that's what everybody was talking about. So I did some digging, and I discovered that that some people had been, their $30 entrance fee, if you want to call it that, to the convention to serve as a delegate had been paid by some of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday afternoon on my old radio station from which I resigned, the talk show host, Pat Frisch, who was also the program director there, said that Heather Wilson's office had actually confirmed and admitted that they had paid the entrance fees for at least, that's a quote, five people.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren White, who is the Bernalillo County Sheriff, who's running for the first congressional district, congressional seat.
That's musical chairs. Wilson is moving up to run for Domenici's Senate seat, and so her congressional seat it will be vacant.
Right. She is vacating that seat to run for Pete Domenici's seat, Senate
mm-hmm.
seat.
Right.
Against Republican Steve Pierce. And so, I started to understand what was happening here. And after I found out yesterday that her office had actually admitted that they had paid for, quote, at least, unquote, five people to get into the delegate convention,
mm-hmm.
it's not much of a stretch, you know, Peter, to understand that if you have candidates paying for the entrance fees of anyone to vote as a delegate, that it would be easy for that candidate, but just by the mere fact that they paid this person to attend or paid their entrance fee to attend, that person is going to vote for them.
That's right.
I mean, it doesn't really take a mental giant to figure this one out, I think.
Go ahead, Brad.
No, if I could add, Laura had until recently worked at the largest radio station in New Mexico, KKOB. They spent, the program director there yesterday spent 4 hours on air talking about this story. I've spoken with Pat Allen, her media boss, previously, the news director. They all said that the reason that they spiked Laura's story was because she did not call Representative Heather Wilson for comment. Now, we have the original scripts of the spiked stories, and Laura McCallum never actually mentioned Heather Wilson. That's one point. And as well, in those 4 hours where they talked about this story yesterday, and they never once talked about Laura, the fact that their station broke the story and that she quit, but they focused on this this registration, this filing fee. They didn't talk about the allegations of being people being paid for, you know, $35 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they said nobody has stepped forward to say that, you know, they were paid this money. And I was speaking to Laura about that earlier. And, Laura, I'd love you to respond. Why do you think no one has stepped forward and given their name in this scheme?
Well, even though the state Republican Party has its own party rules, those rules are governed by state and federal election laws. Now, anyone who accepted any kind of payment from a candidate or anyone else is subject to a fourth-degree felony charge. And so no one's coming out in droves saying, oh, yeah, I took the money. They're not going to do that because by accepting it, it's called a bribe. I believe that's the way the New Mexico statute describes it.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Cargo can address this more accurately than I. But the fact is, when you realize that candidates are paying people to serve as delegates and that these people are going to vote for them, then you have to realize that there are a lot of other competent people who are in the race who are going to be shoved out.
Mm-hmm.
And why did... I'm sorry. Laura, why did you not contact Heather Wilson's office when the issue was finally brought up to you for comment?
Well, I never got a chance. The first series of stories I ran was based on my own observation at the convention, which was people were buzzing about how they'd been paid. There were some old-time Republican Party activists who were trying to figure out why all these new people were there. Why are you here? I'm not going to get involved in the party. I'm not going to volunteer. I was paid to be here for a couple hours. So the first series of stories I did was giving the GOP, state GOP spokesman Scott Darnell an opportunity to discuss how delegates are chosen, how they are vetted. Because one of the accusations, which I did not verify, but one of the accusations was that some of these people were actually voting outside of their congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave the state GOP party an opportunity first, before I did anything else, to talk about how these delegates are vetted. And on Brad's blog, you'll see my original script.
Yeah, I've read them. Mm-hmm.
And the second story I did was with Governor Cargo, because he was incensed about, and this is a gentleman who served as the governor of New Mexico years ago. To me, that gives him some credibility.
Well, and he'll tell us about when he confronted Heather Wilson about this, and the best he got from her was a shrug. We're going to take a break and return. The voice you heard was Laura McCallum. She formerly was the news anchor on radio station KKOB in Albuquerque. She quit in protest over this story, or actually the story being spiked. And Brad Friedman, of course, will continue with us. As we go into the next segment, we'll tell you about complaints that came from the Wilson camp to the radio station and what happened there. And in about 15 minutes, the former governor of New Mexico, Dave Cargo, will join us. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you just joined us, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com has been cracking a big story this week, and you can read all about it on the blog at, of course, bradblog.com. It relates to New Mexico Congresswoman Republican Heather Wilson, and she, of course, was named in the firing of U.S. Attorney David Iglesias in New Mexico. And now, in the middle of another scandal, she is alleged to have participated in a vote-buying scheme where certain individuals were paid and their expenses were covered to come to a delegate meeting, a convention or mini-convention. And it appears that the congresswoman is kind of oblivious to the law-breaking that may have occurred here. And we have with us Laura McCallum, who recently quit her job at KKOB Radio after broadcasting reports about this that were spiked by her boss, news director Pat Allen. And, Brad, next I'd like to introduce one more character here, which is Whitney Cheshire. And she works for Heather Wilson's Senate campaign. Do we know, or what do we know, about contacts that she may have made with KKOB, including calls to news director Pat Allen?
Well, specifically, before I mention that, I want to mention that I have tried to get in touch with Whitney Cheshire now for the last 3 days, have left several calls and emails. I have not heard back from her. I would like her side of the story. I would like to get a comment from the Heather Wilson campaign, but so far they have not been particularly forthcoming in that regard. Now, Whitney Cheshire did, and I can let Laura confirm the details here, but I know that she contacted News Director Pat Allen at least twice as these stories were rolling, and indeed before Heather Wilson's name even came up. So it's somewhat curious that she would call and complain to the station. Now, I tried to ask Pat Frisch, the station director, whether he also received a call, and I have so far been unable to do that. I was on the air briefly with them yesterday, and they hung up on me. So I'll let Laura speak about the specifics as far as what she knows when the Wilson campaign actually contacted her and the station.
Go ahead, Laura.
Well, I mentioned earlier before the break that I did the first series of stories I did allowed GOP, state GOP spokesman Scott Darnell to talk about how delegates are chosen and how they are vetted. That night after those stories ran, Whitney Cheshire called the station. I was literally 10 seconds to air, so I couldn't take the call. Although a part-timer came in and said to me, Wilson campaign's on the phone. Please call Whitney Cheshire. I said, I'm going on the air. And then I literally went on the air. That part-timer gave her Pat Allen's phone number, and she proceeded to call Pat Allen at home and talk to him about how she was really upset about the stories. She was, and at this point, as Brad mentioned, and being there, no one had ever said anything about Heather Wilson. There had been no mention of her. So the fact that Whitney Cheshire came out of the box to complain about the stories, I found very peculiar.
Well, it's kind of like Larry Craig's preemptive denials.
Yeah, there you go. So the next day I did the stories with Governor Cargo, and I ran those during my afternoon drive shift. And she called Pat Allen at home again. And then he called me at the station and just said, you know, we need to talk to the Wilson campaign. I said, I absolutely agree. I'll call him tomorrow. I'll call her and Darren White.
Mm-hmm. Now, Laura.
Go ahead, Brad.
You know, I just want to step through this for clarity. Now, we have the scripts. In your reports, you never mention Wilson. And in that first day's report, you had the GOP state spokesman from the state GOP, correct?
Correct.
Now, did he mention Heather Wilson at that point?
No.
Okay. And in the next day's story, you did not mention Heather Wilson. Governor Dave Cargo, end up mentioning her in any of those reports?
He mentioned her in one of the pieces, but my copy did not reference Heather Wilson in any way. I mean, there was no reason for me to do that. And trying to do my job and be objective and not get involved, let other people tell the story, always. Governor Cargo did mention her in one of the three pieces that were done on Wednesday evening.
And Laura, are you a? It's been charged that. I'm sorry, it's picking up a little bit. It has been charged that this is a Democratic scheme to somehow discredit the Republicans. Have I lost you?
Nope, you're still there, but we got 20 seconds. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. The question was: is Laura, are you a Democrat or are you a liberal, as has been described being behind this story?
Well, I'm an independent. I just vote for the person who's the best person for the job.
Laura McCallum, we're out of time. You know how it works. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do.
And best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Former Governor Cargo joins us next.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. It's our weekly hour with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And if you're just joining us over the weekend, you got to catch up with the Brad Blog. Big story that Brad's been working on all week long involving Heather Wilson, a Republican congresswoman from New Mexico who is a candidate for the United States Senate seat there. And her name became familiar to our listeners because of the firing of Republican U.S. Attorney David Iglesias in New Mexico. Iglesias was fired, he says, after refusing to file politically motivated charges of voter fraud in advance of the 2006 elections. And inappropriate phone calls were made to the U.S. attorney by Senator Domenici, who is retiring, and Heather Wilson is vying for his seat, and Ms. Wilson herself. These are documented events. And, Brad, before we introduce former Governor Cargo, I just wanted to see if there's anything else you want to catch us up on from our conversation with Laura McCallum or anything else that we haven't touched on yet.
Well, I think we've got most of the points up to date here. The governor can speak to the fact that the Secretary of State and the Attorney General seem to be looking into this case. I know they called him. We can find out from him what they said, but I just wanted to confirm that, in fact, there is an official investigation underway. This was one of the reasons that the KKOB gave originally for not running the story was because, quote, until an official investigation for criminal wrongdoing is underway, there's no story here. They then killed the story. That's when Laura McCallum showed up, found out about it, and promptly quit. When I talked to the station, to the news director, he said the reason that they pulled the stories was because they did not get both sides, because she had not called for comment from Heather Wilson, when in fact, that night, the night before, Laura had said she would call Heather Wilson, the campaign, in the morning when she came into work, but she never got to, because when she got there, that is when she learned that the stories had been pulled.
And Brad, can you confirm that news director Pat Allen of KKOB in Albuquerque learned about the investigations that you just cited from a California-based blogger?
Well, I don't know if he learned about them from me or not. I did send him an email after I had learned about it from the governor. So, yeah, he may have learned about it from me. He wrote back to say that if he confirms it, he will run the report. Now, his own station spent 4 hours essentially lying about this and, in fact, even swiftboating Governor Cargo, which was the most shameful display I believe I have ever heard. It was extraordinary what they did to him on air yesterday. And I'll try to get that up on Brad Blog, but they even confirmed that an investigation is underway. And yet, as far as I know, KKOB News has failed to report that fact.
Well, let's bring in Governor Cargo now. And Governor Dave Cargo, former Republican governor of New Mexico, welcome to our program. And I promise I will not hang up on you.
Let me tell you, that thing yesterday was very interesting because I started to tell the interviewer the facts in the thing, and I said, you know, the Attorney General and the Secretary of State are looking, and I got just that far, and he said, I'm not going to fight with you, and blah, 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 blah. And the next thing I knew, he cut me off. He hung up on me.
Oh, wow.
And then he said over the air that something to the effect that he was sorry that he had, but I have never been through an interview quite like that. And I talked to him for approximately 30 minutes before he went on the air. I outlined to him very carefully what had taken place and what my suspicions were and why I thought that the thing should be carefully looked into. I mean, after all, we're selecting nominees for Congress, the United States Senate, various other offices, and I don't think you should have vote buying and everything else imminent when those kinds of things are circulating. But that's the worst interview I've ever been through. And he said, I'm not going to let him bully me. Well, I'd have bullied him if he'd kept me on the line.
Well, Governor, I'll do my best to raise the standard here.
I think you already have.
let me ask you to briefly describe for us the scene in Bernalillo County, where you observed individuals there for this delegate convention, and you're a longtime member of the Republican Party in your state, and you didn't recognize some of these people, and so you kind of asked around and opened up your ears, and you discovered that some of them had had their expenses paid, the entry fee or the participation fee,
yeah.
And that others were acknowledged that they were being paid $35 an hour to be there.
Well, of course, I was also a two-term governor and served in the legislature for some period of time. And I got elected on the basis of corruption in the Democratic Party. So, I saw the best at work. But in any event, I happened to be the chair of Ward 31, which is the largest Republican ward in the city. And normally they have, from 9 to 15 people that show up at these meetings. The day of the convention, there were 59 that showed up. And
did any of them wear Obama buttons?
Yeah, right. Oh, by the way, I was charged, too, by the radio station here with being a renegade Republican, because I had my picture taken with Bill Clinton, and not only that, I knew Hillary Clinton.
Oh, well.
She was in town here last summer, and she said, "Hello, how's my Republican governor?" And that was high treason.
Well, Governor, you get a suite at Gitmo for that.
Oh, God, at least. And probably waterboarding as well. But
all right, then let me jump to the other key issue here, which is that a few days after this event,
yes,
you had a personal conversation with Congresswoman Wilson. And you raised your concerns about what you consider to be a fact, that these individuals had expenses paid and were paid for their time to participate in this convention.
Well, what happened is that the Zia Women's Club, which is made up largely of Hispanic women, were having a luncheon, and she showed up as the main speaker. And I've been very strong with Hispanics. As a matter of fact, that's how I got elected governor. I carried the Hispanic population overwhelmingly. But in any event, she was saying how wonderful it was that we had all these new people show up. And she went on and on and on. And finally, I got up and I said, "Whoa, just hold it. Wait a minute. Look, it's not good for the party because it reflects on it." Because I said, in my precinct, there were, out of the 59 people that were there, 50 of them were brand new, and when I asked them if they were going to be active in the Republican Party, they said no. And one of them got up and said, "We're only here for 2 hours, and that's it." And I said, "Well, what about the Lincoln Day dinner?" Well, they weren't going to go to that either. So anyway, and I said, and not only that, but you had political operatives all over the place, and they had scripted voting and slates and all that. And I said, and that's not good for our party. And the next thing is that there's been a lot of discussion that people's entry fees were paid. And in addition to that, that votes were bought. And she looked at me and she said, "Well, I think we should discuss the Iraq War." And then she came, but now yesterday she came back and confirmed that yes, she had been paying these registration fees for delegates, but she hadn't done it. It took her 2 weeks to remember it, I guess. And oddly enough, her opponent did the same thing. He came in and went through the same process. But in any event, it took her a long time to come around to it, and her excuse was, she said, "Well, they were indigent." And, that was why they were paying for them. But
they got a grant from the Wilson Foundation.
Yeah, they certainly did. I mean, the Republican Party is known for all the people that come in off the streets and vote, you know. And
These are the people, you know, the tax cuts have just trickled down, Governor. It took a while.
Yeah, they sure did. Uh-huh. And
let me turn to Brad. Brad, a question or comment here for the governor?
Yeah, mind you, Wilson has her campaign has only admitted currently to paying the registration for five people. Seems like there was a lot more than that, and she has not spoken to this notion of folks being paid $35.
No, she won't answer that, and the state party won't either. And the state party is defending all of this stuff. Of course, our state chairman is involved in the war in Iraq. So, you know, he's got a big contractor there. But be that as it may, the other thing, we don't know how many people, you know, were paid in cash so that their registration was paid.
And Governor, do you have any inkling that this occurred in other counties or other locations?
I really don't know, because in the counties where I had a lot of influence, which are mostly Hispanic counties, I know they didn't, because, you know, they'd call and tell me, you know, who should we select as delegates, you know, and I'd say, well, you know, you ought to get so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, and we line up people that were office holders or, you know, or influential and so forth. But I don't know exactly what they did in the other counties. But these people were all over that convention like a bunch of flies. I mean, they were just all over the place. And in one ward where there was a state representative who's a good friend of mine, Janice Arnold Jones, they got up and said, we move that the slate that we've been given be adopted as the delegates. I said, whoa, wait a minute. They got to be nominated, for God's sake. I mean, you could have written it out on a roll of toilet paper and passed it. I mean, the thing is, the Republican Party should be above that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And,
Governor, let me just jump in for a second. Brad, go ahead. I hear you.
Yeah, no, Governor, it has been said that the reason this whole thing has come up and the reason you're reporting it at all is because of sour grapes. You were unhappy that you were not elected as a delegate at the ward convention where you were unanimously elected the ward captain, I believe.
Yeah, I was elected unanimously. And, you know, if you have 50 unidentified people and you have a choice between electing them and electing a former governor, two-time governor, a former legislator, a former chair of the party, and all the rest, I think they'd kind of like to have me aboard, even though they say that, you know, I'm too liberal. You know, I even speak for unions, and I get endorsed by unions, and I received 91% of, I've never received under 90% of the Afro-American vote, and so I'm a radical, you know.
Is this why you brought these charges, because you were not elected as a delegate?
I could care less. It's going to save me the money. Otherwise, I'd have had to buy a ticket to that Lincoln Day dinner. And, that was $300. And
rubber chicken.
I can go down and eat an enchilada and buy a round of beer for the guys and to hell with them.
And the state senator, Joe Carrera.
Yes.
Carrero and State Rep Janice Arnold Jones also have concurred with what you have said, have they not?
Yes, they have.
Now, were they upset because they didn't get elected delegates?
Well, Janice did get elected, but Joe didn't. But
Joe didn't because he's running, is he not?
Joe's running, yeah. But you see, you had to get 20% of the convention votes in order to get on the ballot, and you couldn't get on by petition. Well, the governor yesterday in the late afternoon signed a bill that permits you to get on the ballot if you do it by petition, but it's very expensive to do it. And what they wanted to do was push people off the ballot. Not quite the Democratic small d way of doing things.
No, sir, that's part of the Republican vote caging strategies that unfortunately have been pretty widespread under Karl Rove's tutelage. Governor, we're out of time here. Would you like to make a final comment about this case?
No, but I just read Willie Brown's book, and I'll tell you, it sure is interesting.
Yes, it is. I've read it, too, and we had Mr. Brown on about 2 weeks ago.
You know, I love San Francisco. I really do. Well, that place is the greatest.
Well, come on out, and I'll buy you an enchilada and a round of beer.
Hey, I'll go for it, and by golly, I'll flip you for the bill, okay?
All right, and Governor Cargo, I'd like you to hang up on me right now.
Okay, I will, and thank you for having me on. And I appreciate talking with a real profession.
My pleasure, sir. Let's hear the click. Hang it up.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Very good. He hung up on us. Brad, we're going to take a break and return. Stay right there.
Okay.
Brad Friedman, read all about it, and there's a lot to read at bradblog.com.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show for our new listeners in Missoula and in Seattle. Your best way to communicate with the program is to email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And we continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Your weekend homework is to read the entire collection of stories about this New Mexico case. It's fascinating. And, Brad, I'm really proud to know you. This is excellent work.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. But I won't make the joke I was going to.
Oh.
Which was when Governor Cargo there said at the end of his segment that it was a pleasure to talk to a professional, I was going to say I'm sure he would have thanked you as well had we not run out of time. But I won't say that, because that would be rude after something so nice that you said there.
Oh, it's just a little little snarkiness among friends. I don't mind it at all. He's an interesting character, and it was great to hear him committed to honesty, committed to a small d democratic process, and not willing to play political games. That is so rare among, well, Democrats and Republicans these days.
Well, and it sure seems to be rare in New Mexico. I cannot underscore, I'm going to try to get him up on the blog all 4 hours. I cannot underscore how astounding these 4 hours were with program director at KKOB, Pat Frisch. He was sitting in for one of their local hosts. Who was on vacation, and when I said they swift-voted the governor, they did. They called him Dave for a start. They wouldn't call him governor. They wouldn't let him talk at all, and they went on for an entire hour about the fact that he had his picture taken with Bill Clinton. Huh. Now, the fact is, the guy is a sitting governor, or not a sitting governor, was a sitting governor,
right.
And a former president comes to town. It seems to me quite appropriate to go out and greet the former president no matter what. That aside, they spent an hour on this thing, and I have no idea what the hell any of that has to do with the charges that he was putting forward.
Yeah.
And furthermore, let me just toss in, you know, Pat Allen, the news director, had claimed that they pulled the stories. He came up with this new excuse that they pulled the stories because she, Laura McCallum, had not called Heather Wilson. But the fact is, and that it's important to give both sides of the stories, they did 4 hours. They booked the spokesperson from the GOP. The former governor had to call in himself. He was not booked on the show.
Oh, he wasn't even invited.
No, he was not invited. Uh-huh. Laura McCallum was not invited. The Senator Joe Carrera, the fellow who actually gave the complaint to the Secretary of State,
mm-hmm.
He was one of the candidates running in this thing. He was not invited. He had to call in as well. It is absolutely. And then in the fourth hour, his opponent came in and said that Joe Carrera is insane. He actually said that on the air. And so 4 hours, and they couldn't come up with anybody that they could invite to give the other side of the story. It was, you know, in light of the fact that they dumped the initial stories that their news team broke because they claimed that they didn't have the other side of the story. It was just I've never heard anything like it. Sean Hannity has nothing on this guy, Pat Frisch. And I should add, Sean Hannity was Pat Frisch's lead-in yesterday at KKOB.
Well, Brad, next week I want you to update us on the double bubble controversy that you testified about in L.A. today. I also want to talk with you about Texas and Ohio. We got a caller or two. Let me try to squeeze them in.
Sure.
We want to talk about this issue. Aldous is in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, Aldous. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Peter. Hello, Brad. Yeah, this is just astounding. And what really gets me is, okay, so you say that Hannity was the lead-in, but I take it that this station is generally considered in the market a news station. It's not necessarily supposedly leaning one way or the other, right?
It's the talk monster of Albuquerque. It's the largest station in the state, heard in seven states. And, yes, they say they are Albuquerque's news leader.
Right. Well, you would think that they would be willing to give an ex-governor who happened to be Republican a fair shake. It's just amazing that he had to go to a progressive talk show like Peter B. Collins here in order to actually get decent treatment.
And the fact is, they broke the story. They ought to be crowing about that. Their reporter, Laura McCallum, who ended up resigning because they pulled the stories, she's ABC News' field producer in New Mexico. She, in 2006, won the New Mexico Broadcasters Association Award for Broadcaster of the Year and an AP Award also for Best Broadcast. It's absolutely astounding what they did to her.
Well, and so here's one last thing that really strikes me about this. I'll bet you a week ago, Laura McCallum would never have said that she was working for a right-wing political organization.
Say that again. You broke up.
I was about to say, I'm sure that a week ago, Laura McCallum would never have said that she was working for a right-wing political organization of any kind or somebody who, a place that slants to the right. But obviously, thanks to the people that she has to work for, that was the situation she was in.
Well, she might not have said it out loud. She said that she was not happy with the way things were going there, but clearly they have shown themselves for who they are.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Aldous. Thank you, Brad. Read all about it at bradblog.com. Trigger's here, and I must ride off into the sunset. Have a great weekend. This program produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. My thanks to Brian Urban. Grab the podcast and share it with a friend. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.